How many of you guys think you could win? Did you see how big that pizza was? That's awesome. That's like one of the greatest things ever, a slice of pizza that big. I feel like Bizarro's gets close, right, on the really big slices. They're almost that big. They're pretty big. All right, so tonight we're going to be looking in Scripture here together in John 15. So if you guys want to get your Bibles open to that as I'm getting ready here, John 15. I am a person who likes AC. Any of you guys like the air conditioner? You like really love AC? Yeah, I have to have the AC going all the time and like three fans, and I like it to be cold all the time if I'm indoors. And when you go to Guatemala, which you guys know we do trips to Guatemala all the time, and when you're down there for like a week, I mean, you just sweat. Like, it's hot. There's no AC in a lot of places, especially in the jungle where we're at. And so you start to just like get used to sweating just all the time. And then I would realize that after being in Guatemala for a while and just getting used to the heat, I'd come home and I'd be sitting in like my parents' house or whatever if I was home visiting. And I would be cold. Like if I wasn't literally sweating, I'd be shivering. It was like one or the other. I just got so used to the heat that even just like normal AC made me freezing cold. It was the weirdest thing how I got used to one thing. And then I'd come home and it was like I didn't even know what to do anymore, you know? And it's weird that that happens in our brains. I had this friend who was totally demented, but he did something to me I'll tell you about real quick. We're sitting watching TV, and there's a group of us, and we're eating, and I was so focused on whatever was on the TV, I didn't even know what they were talking about or doing. I was totally tuned into the TV and just like eating like this, and then I hear them giggling. And it wasn't until I realized like that they were laughing at me, and I turn around, and I see them looking down at my arm. And when I looked down, this demented friend of mine had pushed a really hot pan that was on the table right up against my arm. And this hot pan was just like sitting against my skin. And I had no idea because I'm so focused on the TV. It wasn't until like I looked at it and actually saw it that I realized and like screamed like a little girl. I was like, ah, like I had no clue that I was being burned because I was so like into what I was doing. Like I was so focused. Have you guys ever had something like that happen where you've been so focused you're oblivious to everything else? Like you don't even know what's going on. And what happens is that that's not very uncommon in our lives. That's this thing that each of us goes through, not just in the physical world, like if you're sitting in classroom, but like sometimes our spiritual life could be like that. Sometimes as we're thinking about like Jesus and we're in this kick, like, man, I want to like live for Christ. I want to be on fire for Christ. I want to follow him. And then we start to see the world around us. And we start to get into other things that we become so distracted and so focused on this other thing that we kind of become oblivious to what Jesus has just called us to do, right? It's like having your arm against a hot pot and you just forget completely like, wow, this just happened. Have you ever gotten a new iPhone and you're like using it and loving it and then you realize, man, I didn't get all my pictures off it. So you got to go back to your old iPhone to get the pictures. And when you open that thing up with the old iOS on there, you're like, what? Oh, it's like you don't even have fingers anymore. Like you can't use the software because it's out of date and you got so used to the new one. It's this thing that just kind of takes over our lives where we don't even realize what we're getting used to. And as we get used to it, it changes the filter that we see things. Like it gives us this new perspective, and it's not until we go back to the way it was that we realize how different it is now. And so tonight, as we read through this passage, there's a similar thing taking place that Jesus is explaining to us. And he's talking to us about this immersing ourselves into this new culture, this new thing that should take over your whole life in a good way. But often it doesn't happen that way. We tend to be distracted. And Philippians 4:8, I'm going to read this to you guys real quick. It says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things." So the Bible's real clear about what we should be focusing on, right? It's calling us to live and think about and focus on things that are good and lovely, things that honor God, things that love other people and serve others. And as our minds focused on that, it begins to change us. It begins to change the way we think, the way we live, our culture, and we start to, our mind like shapes to those good things. But then the opposite's also true. If we don't think on the things that are good and lovely, instead we think on these things, then our mind becomes shaped to those things. So there's this war, there's this balance that's taking place over you. To get your attention, to get your focus, so that your mind develops in a way where you're thinking on one thing or the other. And Jesus really wants you to think on him. He wants your life to be revolving around him, focused on him, because that's what's going to form you inside. You'll start to look like him the more you think on him. And that's what our passage talks about tonight. John 15, hopefully you're there, verses 4 and 5. It says, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." So he starts that off by saying the word abide. And we don't really use that a whole lot today. Like, we don't walk around talking about abiding. And maybe if you're British, you do. I don't know. But like, the word itself means to dwell, to like spend time, to live in. And so when he says abide in me, he's not like, here's what I want you to do. I want you to check in once a week on Wednesday nights with me. I want you to go to youth group. I want you to listen to the word. I want you to pray a little bit. Check in with me once a week and we'll be good. Or Sunday morning. He doesn't say, hey, I just want you, this is all I want you to do. When a disaster happens, I want you to call me and I'll swoop in out of nowhere and be your hero and save you. So just check in when there's a disaster. That's not the relationship that Jesus is calling us to, even though a lot of times that's the relationship that we live. We're not abiding. See, abiding means to like dwell or live inside of a relationship with Jesus. Like, you spend your time there. You dig in. Regardless of how I feel about myself, whether I feel worthy or not of that type of relationship, he offers it to me. Often I'm like, Jesus, why would you want to spend all that time with me? Why would you want to abide in me? I haven't done anything to deserve that. But regardless of how I feel about myself, if I feel worthy of that, he's still offering it. He still wants it, and he wants to abide in you, and he wants you to abide or dwell in him. He wants that intimacy with you. It's this intimate relationship that's not just checking in once a week. It's like, hey, dig in with me. Like, spend time with me. Make your life focused on me so that when you get up in the morning, you're excited about me. You're like, Jesus, what are we doing today? You know? That might even sound crazy to you because you've already been focused over here on this other stuff. And so spending your day with Jesus is like over here, and you haven't been focusing on that. You've been living in this world and this culture, and you're used to these things. You've become accustomed to this. So when I say things like, hey, spend all your time with Jesus, you're like, that's weird, because you're over here. Like, why would I do that? I don't get it. You're like a fish out of water. You're in a whole different culture. Your mind's thinking a different way because you've been spending your time focused on things that aren't Christ. So spending time with him sounds weird. And I say, hey, listen, you should be reading your Bible every day. And you're like, what? Why would I do that? You know, I'm doing these. This is so much more fun. These video games, the social media, these sports, these other things that I'm doing that consume my time. That's really what I want to do. And it sounds weird to you when I'm like, hey, spend your time in the Word. Pray and talk to Jesus every day. Have a relationship with him. Get up and go, Jesus, let's go serve. I want to serve you today. Give me opportunities to talk to my friends about you. Give me an opportunity in school, sitting in a classroom today where somebody asks me about Jesus and I get to tell them all about you. You see, if I'm not spending my time with him, that seems really weird. It seems like a really big thing for me to ask you tonight, you know? Go do that. And you're like, what? Because you haven't been living in that. But what happens when you do? What happens if you have been dwelling with Jesus and you are waking up spending time with him? What happens when you do pray and talk to him and focus on him, like, and you're dwelling with Jesus, you're abiding with him? When I say those things, you're like, obviously, like, why would I want to do anything else? I want to do that. You know why? Because you've been abiding with Christ. He's been changing your heart. He's been accustoming you to being with him and spending time with him. When you wake up, you look for him. You're like, where is he? Like, I expect to see Jesus when I wake up. Like, I want that. I look forward to that. I look forward to spending my day with him because I've been spending time with him, right? It's this awesome relationship that is two-way. It's not this one-way relationship that we're so used to now. You've probably got friends who are like, they want to be your friend as long as they're getting something from you, or they can benefit somehow, or like there's some motive, right? And they're a friend when it's convenient for them. But the second it's not convenient, they're like off, and they don't even remember your name, right? And so often that's what we do to Christ. Lord, I got a big test tomorrow. All of a sudden, I'm on my knees, and I'm like, Lord, help me. God, somebody in my family's sick, and I'm nervous, and I need your help right now. Right? You name the thing that brings you to your knees, but it's not like you're spending every day there. You're just there when you need something from him. And he's like, but I want you to like live your life with me. I want to be in this intimate relationship with you. I want you to spend your day with me. Let's walk through the day. Let me show off to you all day long as I do things because you're trusting me. And you're having these crazy conversations you wouldn't have had on your own. And God's showing up doing things all day that blow your mind because you're taking him by the hand and you're walking with him instead of living over there. It's crazy once you start to really abide in Jesus, how quickly things inside of you change. How quickly you see things differently and you live in a different world with a different filter. So he challenges us to abide in him. And this is what he says if we do. And I in you, he says, I'll abide in you. That we're not going to just like sit there and follow him around all day long and chase him and he keeps running away. He's like, no, I'm coming at you. Like, I want to be in this with you. I'm inviting you into me as I'm going to be there with you. He says, I'll abide in you as well. It's this cool picture that always brings us back to baptism. That's why I love the picture of baptism. It's this picture where you are literally immersing your life into Jesus. Like all of you is sinking down into Jesus and he's completely surrounding you. And that's the picture of our relationship with him. Not just this like, hey, what's up, Jesus? See you next week. But like, Jesus, I want the whole thing. I want to be immersed in you. I want to spend all of my time and energy with you because you're the greatest thing I've ever heard of or seen. No one's ever loved me as much as you. No one's ever done what you've done for me. Jesus, you blow my mind. I want to be immersed in you. And he says, as you do that, he promises to be in you. He plunges himself back into your heart as you abide in each other and you start to live like Christ. There is no other way to live, let me tell you what. If you're trying another way, it's never going to match up to what you could have with Christ when you decide to just dwell with him. Have him live within you. He goes on and he says, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. You've seen trees, I assume, right? I hope you've seen some fruit trees before in your life. If not, you really need to get outdoors more. But a fruit tree, you'll know that like fruit doesn't just grow in like the air. You don't just walk down the sidewalk and it's just laying around. It grows on a branch. And if there's no branch, there's no fruit. That's just how it works. The tree itself sucks up energy out of the ground, nutrients and water, things that it needs. And this fruit pops out because of all that. And so without the branch, the fruit can't just grow. And he's saying, that's us. Well, hold on a second, because a lot of times we try to do that. We try to be that fruit that's like, I'm going to grow myself today. I'm just going to appear out of nowhere. I'm going to make myself better. I'm going to hunker down today, and I'm going to do this and this, and I got this. Might even like self-talk, you know, like, yeah, all right, I could do this. And Jesus is like, no, you can't. Not in a mean way, just in a true way. Like you could do nothing apart from Jesus. We could try to fake it, and some of us might actually be really good at pretending, at faking like we're living for Christ, at faking like we're like that good Christian kid, or we go to like a Christian school, or go to a youth group, or we go to church. We do that thing where people look at us, and we try to talk a certain way, and act a certain way, and dress a certain way, and we got really good at it. But if we really look in your heart, there's no genuine fruit. You're not waking up with a desire to be like, hey, Christ, I can't wait to spend the day with you. Can't wait to see what you're going to do today. Let me just be with you. Let me just be a witness of what you're going to do. Instead, you're just waking up like, what's my list? What's my to-do list? What are the things I'm going to accomplish today? And he says, without him, your list isn't very long. It's not a list at all. You can't produce fruit by yourself, no matter how well you try to behave. And I wonder what type of things you do. What are your go-to moves for trying to produce your own fruit? What shortcuts do you like to take? Because it seems like spending all your time with Jesus might take a lot of time, right? It'll dominate your schedule. But you have all these things you got to do, right? Aren't we busy people? Like, we got so much that we want to try to accomplish. And how is Jesus ever going to fit into my really busy schedule that's so important? And it's almost like we're saying, I'm going to grow my own fruit. I'm going to take the shortcut over here. Forget the branch. I don't need the branch. I'm just going to make a life for myself. I'm going to make this life work, you know? I'll get real smart. I'll get a good job. I'm going to be awesome at the sport and go play ball. I'm going to do whatever it is that your goals are. You're like, I'm going to try to dig in and do this thing. And your schedule shows that that's true or not. Because Jesus literally says, like, where are you spending your time? So let me ask you. Don't answer this out loud, but where's most of your time spent? Where's most of your energy spent? What do you focus most on? What do your goals look like? You see, maybe if you look at them, you might find that you're actually filling it up with other shortcuts to try to build a life. Instead of saying, I'm going to spend time with the branch. As I spend time on this branch, abiding in him, he's going to abide in me, and he's going to produce the fruit. He's going to produce a life and make me the person he wants me to be. But you got to spend the time with him. You got to be willing to take your schedule and say, you know what? It's not all about me. Life isn't just about me getting to do everything I really want to do, that my parents are working so hard to help me be able to do the things I want to do. And it seems like all the focus is just right there. Like, what is it I want out of life? Jesus says, I want you to want me most out of life. To make your life about me. And I promise if you do that, he says, I will dwell in you. Right? I'll make it. I'll jump in and I'll produce the fruit. I'll build your life. I'll make you the person I've always designed you to be from when I created you. Before you were ever even like a thought in your parents' mind, I already had the plan. So dwell with me and let me do the work. Trust me. Make life about me. And he says, neither can you unless you abide in me. What are you abiding in instead of Jesus? What are those things that are taking up your time, taking up your heart and your attention? I want to challenge you tonight because the list is huge, right? There's so many things that could. Sports. Is your life just all about that sport? Things come up, they get, you know, nope, not doing that because I have this sport, I have this practice, I have this game, and everything in your life is like kind of revolving around your sport. It takes priority. Or is it friendships? Like you care so much about relationships and friendships and looking a certain way and being popular and having people's attention that dominates like what you think and what you post and what you do, dominates your schedule. Or maybe you're a workaholic. You know, there's some of you guys, I know you are. You love to work. You have a great work ethic, but some people take that to an extreme, right? And it's all about work. It's like my job and my work and doing these things, getting things done becomes my focus as if it's the most important thing. I'm not telling you to be slobs and like not work. Work's good for you, but it shouldn't dominate your heart. School. I know so many students that are like freaking out, especially seniors right now, because we're getting close to graduation. Where am I going to go to school? What am I going to do? How am I, like, what's college going to be like? And it just dominates everything. And Jesus isn't going to ask you what your GPA is or was when you get to heaven. And I'm not telling you to be bad at school. You don't go home and be like, Rob said I don't have to do homework. Like, forget you, mom and dad. I'm not saying that. But I am saying that shouldn't be your focus. That shouldn't own your heart. How about your hobbies? How about video games? Social media? Maybe for some of you, it's just sin controlling your life. What sins do you have to like give up? Maybe for some, it's porn. Maybe for others, it's lust. Laziness. Maybe you're just a sloth and you just sit around and do nothing. You need to get off a couch and go live for Jesus. Just like to be comfortable. There are so many more we can add to that list. You get the point. All these other things are wanting you to live in them and get used to them. And so that when I say something like, hey, did you spend your day with Jesus? You're going, that's weird. Why would I do that? Because you're used to this. But when you abide in him, that's not your answer. You're like, I can't wait to go spend time with Christ. And he says this next. He says, let's get this straight, right? That's my words. He's like, let's get this straight. He says, I'm the vine. And at first you're like, yeah, okay, we just heard that. But what he's doing is like, imagine him just taking you by the shoulders and getting in your face and being like, I am the vine. Right? That means you're not. That means he's the one responsible for giving you life. He's the one responsible for transforming you. And so often we think we are. Like, Jesus, I'm the vine, back off. Like, I've got this. I've got my life. I'm in my plans. You know, I've got the strategy down. I know what I'm doing. Jesus, don't interfere. And he's like grabbing you and being like, yo, I'm the vine. Get in your lane. I'm the one who gives life. I'm the one who gives you strength. I'm the one who transforms your heart. You can't do this on your own. And nothing and nobody else can ever be the vine. Maybe it's not you you're depending on. Maybe it's that person in your life who's your crutch or even your family. And those are good things. But not when they're your crutch. Not when you're depending on them over Jesus. He wants you to recognize that he is the giver of life. Not just when you were born, but every day that you, every time you take a breath, that's him. That's him giving you life. And he wants to transform that life because he is the vine. And so then he looks back, he says, I'm the vine. And he says, now let's get this straight. You're the branches, right? You are the branches. We're not the vine. We can't do it. But what we can do is we can suck in that nutrients from Jesus. We can spend time with him and let him and his love rub off on us so that we become more like him, so that we can grow and love other people well. You see, Rob Jones is going to run out of love if I try to just love everybody with my heart, what I've got in the tank. Like, I'm going to run out quick. But when it's Jesus' love that's constantly filling me, constantly overflowing out of me, it never runs dry. It's just bursting out like this fountain that you can't control. Imagine your dad like doing plumbing in your house, right? And how the water gushes out and you can't stop it. That's what I feel like when I think about Jesus, like his love just keeps coming. That's what you're loving people with. Because he is the vine, and we make terrible vines, but we make great branches. He designed us to pull in, to suck in that love and what he has to offer us. And to stop thinking we're in charge. And I want to be blunt tonight in a loving way. Too many of us think we're in charge. And we don't admit it. We don't look at it. We don't like to think about it. But if Jesus actually showed up here tonight and was like, I want you to push all this stuff to the side and just follow me. What things would you not be willing to let go of? What things are already freaking you out just thinking about this? You're like, ooh, I can't let go of that. Is it a certain friendship, a relationship? Is it a hobby? Is it just something you love? What is it? What are the things that if Jesus said, I need you to give that up, you'd be like, pry it out of my dead hands, Jesus. Like, because he's telling you, you're the branch. You're not in charge. Let me be in charge of your life. Then he says, whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. If you're willing to let go and you're willing to be the branch and take in what Jesus is offering you, he's not going to just give you a little bit. I love that he says, you will bear much fruit. Like he guarantees here, this is a promise, that he's going to change your life in incredible ways. He's going to transform you in ways you can't even imagine right now. And the fruit that's going to come out is going to be unbelievable. I ask myself so often, how come I don't see all that fruit? Like, he promises much fruit. And I look around at so many believers, even my own life. Like, where's that fruit? That fruit you're promising. And I want to blame Jesus. I want to be like, Jesus, I thought you said I'd have a lot of fruit. And you know what I have to go back to? I'm really not abiding in him that much. That's why the fruit's not there. I wonder why these people around me don't show fruit. They're probably not abiding in him. Why is the fruit not in my life? I'm probably not really spending the time with Jesus than I think I am. I'm really focused and distracted, living over here in this world instead of abiding in Christ. And then he finishes by saying, for apart from me, you can do nothing. That's pretty clear. Like, I don't really have to explain that a whole lot. Apart from Jesus, you can't do anything. Those are his words. Which means the reverse is also true, though, right? There's no transformation without him, but with him, imagine what he wants to do through you and in you. There's no end to what he can and will do in your life. If you're just willing to say, Lord, I'm stepping out of that whole check-in once a week relationship, and I'm stepping into, I want to dwell with you. I want to abide in you. I want to invite you into my life and just take control, Jesus. I'm just going to follow what you say. Let's just do this thing where you say, Rob, go. And I'm going to say, all right, God, here I go. I'm scared, but I'm following you because I trust you. I want to spend time with you. I want to read about you in your word. I want to wake up and pray and talk to you and just live with you and practice faith in you. And as that life starts to take shape, man, the fruit's going to pour out. He promises it. And without it, there's no fruit. Without it, we have empty churches. We have churches full of people. But without that, those people will be empty. Lots of people, no fruit. And what good is that to a world that's starving? That fruit is supposed to drop off the tree so someone can come along and pick it up and enjoy it and eat it and benefit from it. That's what your fruit's for. And so you're not starving because you got Jesus, right? But the people around you are because you're not spending time with Jesus. And so they see these empty Christians that aren't bearing fruit. They're coming to school and they have a Bible or I hear they go to church, but like, I don't see anything different in them. They're not actually like doing anything that like helps me or loves me or makes me want to know Christ more. They're just like every other kid. They're walking through school all day, just being them. You know why that is? Because we're spending our time over here. Jesus is inviting you tonight to abide in him. Be different. Be that kid that goes to school and people are like, holy cow, when you're around them, I just feel loved. I feel cared about. I can see something totally different. I want more of that. I want to spend time with them and find out what it is. They make a difference in my life. I like being around them, and I don't even know why. I can't put it into words, but there's something there. And the thing is, it's that they're eating fruit that you're dropping. The spiritual fruit that people are going, what in the world? Be that person. And that can only happen if you abide in Jesus. Will you close your eyes with me? The band's going to come back up here and lead us in some worship. And as they do, will you just prepare your heart for that and ask the Lord tonight, God, am I really abiding in you? Maybe your first question tonight is like, God, do I have a relationship like that? Have I been saved by Jesus? Have I actually had a moment where I've trusted in you to forgive me? Have you ever asked Jesus to save you and to make you his? Had a moment where you prayed and you said, God, I'm giving you my heart right now and I'm trusting you with it. And what Jesus does in return is he saves you. He forgives all your sin. He makes it so that the day you die, when you get to heaven, he looks at you and says, come on in, you're my child. I know you. I died for you. I've saved you. Maybe that's you tonight. You've never done that. Will you ask him that? God, like, have I done that? Am I saved? Do I know you like that? Or maybe you're just not spending the time you should, and you need to ask the Lord, Father, what is it that I'm seeking after that's not you? What am I abiding in that's not Jesus? Lord, will you show me that? Will you bring that to my heart? And as we sing this next song, will you just listen? Listen to the voice of God. Hear the Holy Spirit talk to you and say, hey, here's the answer. This is what I want you to give up to me tonight.